session regarding academic practices. My name is Elisa Heimovaara, and I work as the International Coordinator at the Faculty of Education and Psychology. Do you hear me? Do you see my presentation? Okay, thanks, Agi. I'm going to tell you a bit about the enrolling for the courses, planning your studies, some things about grading, about the modes of study, essays, assignments, examinations, stuff like that. At any point, if you have questions, just, you know, ask them out aloud or via chat. It's a bit difficult for me to monitor the chat, so Agi or Elisa, can you please let me know if there are questions or comments? So the content of the presentation is planning your studies, registering for courses, and so on and so on. I'm going to talk a bit about the contact with staff members. And at the end, there will be time for questions and answers. But as I just said, if you want to just, you know, you can interrupt me and ask while I'm presenting. As you know, our university uses the European Credit Transfer System, which means that one ECTS credit equals to 27 hours of students' work. The Finnish term for ECTS credit is opintopiste, and it's often abbreviated as OP. Well, what is included in a credit then, if we think about the work? Well, everything and anything. So it can be the contact teaching, although this semester, at least to begin with, it's mostly going to be online teaching. It can be group work or pair work. It can consist of examinations or essays or other assignments, and the time needed to prepare for them, including the reading of the materials, or any other independent work. So, for example, if you are taking a course in visual arts, you may need to complete a project of drawings and paintings and sculpting. So that's also counted in that. So please note that one credit is not 27 hours of, you know, teaching, but 27 hours of students' work. I've also included the semester and period dates. Currently, we are living the first period, which begins with the orientation program this week, and then some courses may begin already next week. So beginning the week beginning with the 30th of August. And the first period finishes on the 24th of October, and the second period begins on the 25th of October and finishes by Christmas. Usually the teaching will be over by the 17th of December. After that, it's possible that you have some deadlines for assignments. And those of you who will stay for the spring semester as well, you can see the dates there. Some of our departments and units utilize this period system more strictly than others. So, for example, in the Department of Languages, it's pretty typical to have one course beginning and ending within a period. Whereas, for example, in my faculty, we tend to stretch the course over two periods. So it's possible that you will begin a course in the first period, but it will finish in the second period. But in some other faculty, it is, you know, within that one period. And regarding the spring term, there is the sort of the only official holiday of the university. The Easter break will be the week preceding Easter. What should you plan for then when you're planning your studies? We expect you to do approximately 30 ECTS credits per semester, which seems to be the requirement of many of your home universities as well. And in order to be able to complete these studies, you have to compose a personal study plan. I'll be talking about that in a minute. You can choose courses from your own department or faculty, and then, of course, from the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, often abbreviated as MOVI. And then some other departments and faculties. But you should pay attention to the level of the courses and whether some prerequisites are stated for the courses. And of course, the language of instruction. Some of you may know Finnish well enough to participate in Finnish medium teaching, but I guess that the majority will have to look at courses that are taught in English or in some other language like German, in case of the Department of Languages and Center for Multilingual Academic Communication. In your personal study plan, it is a documented plan of studies, and it's very important for the students who are completing an entire degree here in Jyväskylä. But even for you who are here for 1 or 2 semesters, it's quite an important document because in our current system, you have to do this personal study plan in SISU, which is a program, in order to be able to enroll for the courses. Also, you can see which courses you are enrolled in and which courses you have completed using this personal study plan. I and my colleagues, the other international coordinators in other faculties, we have created a template, the overall structure of the exchange program. So you will see all the possible courses taught in English in SISU. And we have included some instructions for you here on the web pages. And I know that you are going to have a session, although I guess it was a recorded session regarding SISU usage. There is a lot of optionality usually in the main structure, but please note that not necessarily all the courses that are stated in the template in the structure are taught this semester or even this academic year, because it tends to have, all the courses that probably will be taught during this curriculum period, and not all courses are necessarily given every semester. Mostly, you can choose courses from your own exchange program, but then there are some elective or free choice courses from other faculties or departments, and that's also included in the template. So there is a kind of a module saying that courses that you can choose freely from other faculties and departments. And then, of course, you can choose courses from the Multilingual Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, MOVI. One of the tricky things is that all of our courses can be found in SISU, so in the software, and the titles are in English because all of our courses have, in addition to the Finnish title, they have an English title. But that title being in English does not necessarily indicate that the course is actually taught in English. So you should check from the course description in SISU the whether the course is actually taught in English. Some courses my state both Finnish and English, which means that there are groups in both languages. And then I guess each faculty, each unit has some courses that the contact teaching is actually in Finnish, but there is an alternative method for completing the course for the international students. There may be some restrictions regarding participation. For example, our School of Business and Economics, especially when we are talking about the advanced level courses, has very, very specific restrictions, and they do not accept you to participate in the courses unless you have a relevant background in those studies. Your own faculty international coordinators will tell you more about this on Thursday when we meet. This sort of subject-specific restrictions go together with the prerequisites. It's possible that you may not choose a course unless you have already completed a similar course at a more basic level. Coming to my mind from my own faculty, for example, we have a course, Clinical Psychology 1 and Clinical Psychology 2. So it's not possible for you to do the Clinical Psychology 2 course unless you have already studied clinical psychology to some extent previously, either here by completing the course Clinical Psychology 1 or then at your home university earlier on. Level, I'm going to talk about the level of the studies in a minute, so I'll just leave it here. Please note that because of the well-known reasons, COVID-19, our university is slowly opening for contact teaching as well, but still the face-to-face teaching is very limited, at least during the first period of the autumn semester. We have some courses. For example, in our faculty, we have some practical courses in a daycare center at school, hopefully, in which we have actual face-to-face contact teaching, but the majority of lectures and seminars are still given online for the time being. Well, the level of the studies, the course code will tell you that. Each course has a code consisting of letters and numbers, and the first three digits are letters, and they tell you the subject of the course. Unfortunately, these abbreviations come from Finnish, so sometimes they are a bit difficult for to understand. Then the fourth digit tells you the level of the studies. And I have included some examples here. So, for example, TIE stands for Tietotechniikka, Information Technology. PSY is easy to guess, that's psychology. EGS-EN, EGS signifies that it's a Center for Academic Communication course, and EN stands for English. And then the fourth digit, P, basic studies, first year studies, A, second and third year studies, intermediate studies, S is master's level, so advanced level studies, and J is doctoral level studies. Usually, the doctoral level studies are not open for exchange students unless you are a visiting PhD student. Is this clear? I can see that there are questions regarding the enrollment. I'll actually come to that in a minute. Ouch, sorry. So registering for the courses. Each course has a separate registration period, and that is mentioned in the completion methods tab of the course description in CISU. Please note that if the course consists of sort of various parts, there are lectures, there are exams, there are perhaps some practical classes, it may have kind of like a separate registration for each of those groups. If you decide to drop a course, it's possible, but please remember to remove your registration, or if you are unable to do it by yourselves, let your international coordinator know and they will do it for you. I have also included a comment on, you know, if a course is full, you may go to the first lecture to see if there is availability. Nowadays, with our current system, and especially with the online teaching, the registration situation tends to be pretty well up to date. So this might not be so relevant, but you may, if you want to, you can always send a question to the teacher and ask whether the course is actually full. Okay, now let's see. So, when to enroll? When your university user license is fully functional, I have actually no idea at the moment whether you have already received your university usernames and passwords and whether you are able to access CISU as such. Most of our courses that are aimed at exchange students, we have taken into account the fact that you may not be able to register immediately after your arrival to Jyväskylä. However, that being said, most of our English medium courses are not only for the exchange students, they are also for our degree students. And if that is the case, then the registration period might be already ongoing. Once again, if in doubt, if you have difficulties, contact your international coordinator. Then, how to do it? You have to include the course first in your study plan. So you have to compose your study plan first. And then using the study plan, you can enroll for the courses. There are deadlines for the course enrollment, and they are also stated in the course descriptions in CISU. Usually the confirmation of your registration, so in a nutshell, whether you are accepted to the course or not, it is sent to you after the end of the registration period. So, for example, if the registration for a course finishes on the 15th of September, after that date, you will know for sure whether you got accepted to that course or not. In very many courses, especially with a big number of participants, the confirmation comes immediately after you have enrolled into the course. For example, once again, in our faculty, we have a course, CIPA 4419, Trauma and Violence, and it's an online course ongoing throughout the entire academic year. So once you register for that course, it's confirmed immediately. So you will know right away whether you got accepted to the course or not. CISU, I've been talking already a lot of CISU. About CISU, it's our new software or newish software for course registration, credit management, and so on and so on. All course information is in CISU, and you plan your studies, you compose your personal study plan using that. You register for courses, you register for examinations using CISU, and you can access your transcript of records using that as well. It functions both in English and in Finnish, so you will choose your language from the top right-hand corner of the software. We also use CISU for communicating with our students, so please check that your contact information is up to date. And also, there is this sort of message function in CISU, which enables the teachers to communicate with you. For example, if there is a need to cancel a meeting or set another appointment or something like that, they will send messages using CISU. If you have technical problems with CISU, you cannot access it, or it doesn't seem to function for you, please contact the CISU support team. This is quite a new system to us. We started implementing it 2 years ago. It is also a new software. It's being developed all the time. So it's very much still a work in process. Try to be patient. So do we. It's surprises us every now and then as well. So try to be patient, and we'll try to help you with your possible problems with CISU as well. I'm certain my colleagues and I will talk more about course enrollment on Thursday afternoon when we meet you, faculty by faculty. So I suggest that if you encounter problems with finding your courses, enrolling into your courses, try to be patient until Thursday, because many of the issues might be solved by meeting when you meet your international coordinator. I have to say that, for example, in the case of the Faculty of Education and Psychology, some of the courses that will be taught in English are still missing. That's because, well, for example, regarding the practical courses, because there was this new outbreak of COVID in Jyväskylä, we are still in negotiations with the daycare centers and schools whether it will be possible to offer the practical courses. I plan to update the web page and CISU platform tomorrow at the latest. So on Thursday when we meet, everything should be in order. Modes of study to move on. They vary quite a lot from faculty to faculty and course to course. We have seminars, demos, practical work group talk, presentation, independent study, online courses, book examinations, essays and reports, learning diaries, other kind of written assignments, but usually no oral examinations. I know that in the Department of Languages, they've been experimenting with oral examinations, and in MOVI, so in the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, they may have a bit of an oral examination as part of the course in for example, in Finnish language courses. But usually we don't have a tradition of oral examinations like you have in Italy, for example. I have included an example of a course outline. This is from our faculty, and it's 2 years old because after that, the contact teaching has been, well, difficult, and I wanted to show you how a typical course description, course outline looks like in CISU. So you can see here there is the course code EDUS 1010, and the name of the course is Intercultural Competence and Collaborative Learning. It's worth 5 ECTS credits. You can see the basic information also here. The grading scale is 0 to 5, which is the typical grading scale in our university. It's organized by the Faculty of Education and Psychology. And here is also the name and contact information of the responsible teacher, currently on maternity leave, so she won't be teaching this course this semester. Here in the course description, you can see the learning outcomes, the content, the completion methods, and the assessment details. Then you can see the timing, you see the dates, the actual exact time, and then the location. So this sort of the last column shows you the classroom where it's being taught. And that basically tells you everything that you need to know, you know. Forgot to point out that here, under languages, it's clearly stated that it is in English. Please remember that for quite a few of the courses, the confirmation of participation or confirmation of registration comes after the end of the registration period. So not immediately, but after the registration period ends. When you are planning your studies, please note that some of the courses may overlap. There is quite a handy calendar function in SISU, which will show you if you have overlapping courses there. I'd like to emphasize that please try not to miss the first teaching session, because usually the teachers give out all the important information there. So they will tell you about the assignments, they will tell you about the assessment criteria, and other practical information. Many of the courses that are taught online are recorded. I mean, the teachers record their presentations, but not necessarily. And if they don't record it, then it's even more important that you attend the first session. We usually begin our teaching and even meetings at 15:15. So instead of beginning at 2 o'clock sharp, we begin at 2:15. In some subjects, it is very important that you attend the teaching, be it face-to-face in a classroom or online. For example, the Department of Languages and usually also the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication require you to be present when there is teaching. If you fail to appear a couple of times, it may lead into you failing the course. So if it is not clear, please check with the lecturer. And as usual, we have very small classes, you know, like seminar groups, 8-10 people, but we also have very big lectures in business and economics, for example, also to some extent in psychology, where we can have hundreds of people participating at the same time. Teaching methods vary as well. So it can be, you know, this blah, blah, blah lecturing, the teacher is talking, not a lot of interaction with or, you know, between the students, but it can also be very interactive, flipped learning. So a lot of variation there. We tend to have a lot of written assignments, depending on the subject, but in humanities, social sciences, education, we just love written assignments. As you probably know, there are big differences in the tradition of academic writing in different countries. So it's good to be aware of your own background and its possible impact on your academic writing conventions. Usually the teachers give you some advice on what they expect in their written assignments they receive. If in doubt, asked. The way you are supposed to submit your assignment varies as well, although most of the teachers nowadays use either Moodle or then another platform called Coppa. I don't think we have very many teachers who insist on paper handouts or even emails nowadays. And you should also check the deadlines and obey them. So if the deadline is 1st of November, submit it on the 1st of November. If you can't make it, ask for an extension, but please do it well in advance. Plagiarism and fraud. We take quite a strict stance on fraud and plagiarism. So please make certain that you are not guilty of that. So no cheating, no copying of an assignment from a fellow student. Please note that also the student that agrees to give their work to somebody else for fraudulent purposes is guilty of fraud. And if you're doing practical work in laboratory, for example, falsifying measurements or findings is also academic fraud. And then what usually happens, I mean, most often with the students, is the plagiarism. So I know that not everybody is very familiar yet with the conventions of referencing and academic writing, but it's very, very important that that the reader always knows whether it's your own thinking, your own writing, or whether you are borrowing this idea, this concept from somebody else. So you should make certain that you use the proper referencing, proper citation techniques. What is, as you know, there are very many styles for referencing. It depends a lot on your discipline. For example, in our faculty, the APA style is very widely used. If in doubt, once again, and if the teacher does not say anything, you can always ask. We have a good web page for the academic administrative rules and regulations, so I recommend you to have a look at this as well. We use plagiarism detection software for the written assignments. It's a software called Turnitin, and it's usually sort of automatically applied to your piece of writing if you submit it in Coppa or Moodle. Well, I wanted to point this out because unfortunately last semester we had yet again a couple of cases with academic fraud. So it's always a failure of the course that the student committed the academic fraud in. It also means that the student cannot take the course again. There is a disciplinary discussion with the dean of the faculty or the head of the department, depending. And please note that your home university will also be notified about this fraud. So it is something that may have consequences even back in your home university. So please be certain what you do. I don't want to frighten you, though. The teachers do understand that you are students and you are not necessarily yet very well practiced in in the academic writing. So if it is kind of like an honest mistake, they will take that into account. But if it is something really, really clear, like for example, unfortunately, I have had students who have submitted assignments from the previous year students as their own, then it is, the case is pretty obvious. There is no need to ask the student whether this was a mistake or whether this was intentional. So take this seriously, please. Exams. Several different kinds of examinations. We'll be talking about all of these. I would like to point out that it's possible to resit an examination if you're not satisfied with your grade. Another thing, even though the e-books, digital books, are more common nowadays, we still have some courses in which they use, hard copies. And there might be just a limited number of books. Actually, also, some of the digital books have a limited number of copies that can be lent out simultaneously. So, when you are planning to sit an examination, plan ahead and check the availability of the books as well. The university library textbooks, course books, are usually available for a period of 14 days, so 2 weeks. Some books may be available for 1 month, but usually 2 weeks. So please pay attention to the availability of literature as well. Well, the first type of exam is the lecture examination, which means that usually it is at the end of the course. And that's kind of part of the course. So you, in a nutshell, you follow the lectures, and then at the end of the lectures, you sit the examination, and that's that. The dates for the exam and possible re-examinations are stated in SISU as part of the course. And depending on the way the course is sort of constructed in SISU, it's possible that you may have to register separately for the examination. But it's also possible that it's kind of like the final meeting of the course, of the lectures. If you can't attend this lecture examination during the date that it is given, then please discuss with the teacher in advance, unless there is already a resit date stated in the SISU, then you can go there and sit it. Then, book exams can either be a part of the course with some contact teaching, or then, as is very often the case with English medium students, the only mode of studying for an independent study course. So, an independent study option means that there is no contact teaching whatsoever, not in a classroom, not online. You read the materials and then sit the book examination, or in some cases, write a written assignment. But let's talk about the book examinations now. So, the book exams are organized on general examination days. There are faculty-specific dates, they are organized once a month. But because of the COVID exceptions, I don't think we are going to have. At least in our faculty, we don't have any faculty-specific general examination days this semester. Everything is online or as e-examinations. And that's why I don't really talk about the general examination day procedures, because they are really not relevant at the moment. If you find out that you have to sit a general examination on a general examination date, please refer to the instructions in my slides and also on the web pages of the university. What you may take this semester as although is e-examinations. So e-exams are taken in specific classrooms There is one in Agora Building by the lake, and another one in Proxima Building on the old campus on the top of the hill. And the classrooms are open Monday through Friday. I have to say that on the e-examination webpage, they had not updated yet the exact times of the day, opening hours for this for the autumn semester 2021. But I used the times that we had last semester, so I guess they are going to be more or less the same. If you take an e-examination, you register in advance in the e-exam system and book your time slot in the e-exam classroom you want to. And then when the time comes, you just go there, log into the computer using your username and password, and start writing and doing the examination. There is a specific time slot, 2 or 4 hours, and you have to submit your work during within that time. And well, basically that's that. Sometimes the e-exam rooms are overloaded, especially now because only half of the places are used simultaneously. So if you have to do an e-exam, please once again plan ahead and book your examination time well in advance. It's possible to book your time slot 2 months prior to your planned examination date, usually, although with the COVID restrictions, it's been 30 days, but we'll see what it will be this semester. Then, especially now with the distance learning practices we've been doing, it's possible to have an examination also in one of our sort of learning platforms like Moodle or Coppa, Teams. There may be essay-based or multiple choice or even calculations, especially in mathematics. And usually there is a restricted time to complete. So you have to complete the examination, let's say, on Monday, between 2 and 4, and after that the examination closes. But then again, in for example, in one of our courses called Education in Finland, it is a multiple choice examination and it is open for approximately 3 weeks, and you can take the examination at any time you like within those 3 weeks. And once again, depending on the course, depending on the examination, you may have to register separately or then not. This should be explained to you during the course, or if it is an individual study option in the description of the course. Any questions about exams or assignments that you would like to ask now? Don't see any questions in the chat. So I'll move on to assessments and grades. Sorry about being a motor-mouth about this, but there is a lot of material, lot of important things to be said during this presentation. We mostly use, oh, come on. We mostly use a grading scale from 0 to 5, and you can see the our grading scale and then the corresponding ECTS grading scale grade here. 0 is fail, 1 is the lowest pass grade, so that is sufficient, corresponding to E on the ECTS scale, and 5 is the best grade, excellent, corresponding to A in ECTS grading scale. However, some courses, these tend to be practical courses, like, for example, in my faculty, the teaching practice courses, they are usually graded pass or fail. So you don't get a numeric grade, you just either pass the course or fail the course. And I have to say that every year, and that's why I have highlighted it here with yellow, every year I have students saying that, well, my home university does not recognize this pass or fail scale. Unfortunately, most often, it is not possible for us to change the grade in the database from a pass to a numeric grade, because the grading scale is pass or fail. So it's there is no way around it. And this is especially true in this academic year, when SISU will be our main database for courses and grades. We will just not have any way of going around it. So please, when you enroll into a course where the grading scale is pass fail, please make certain that your home university is okay with that. If you fail your exam or course, you can talk to the teacher to agree a reassessment of your work and what you should do. For example, if you have submitted a written assignment that was not accepted, you didn't pass, contact your teacher and ask what went wrong, what should you do in order to improve your assignment so as to pass the course. We don't use, you know, normal distribution, bell curve. So if all the students perform really well, you can get, I mean, all of them can get a 5. So it's totally possible to get, if we are talking about a group of, let's say, 20 students, it's possible that everybody gets 3 or higher, no normal distribution. It also means that we have no university level assessment criteria. We have, for example, in our faculty, we have the general assessment criteria, which all of our teachers follow. But in addition to that, the teachers should explain their assessment criteria at the beginning of the course, when they are also explaining to you what is expected of you, whether you have to submit an assignment or whether you have to sit an examination, and what is expected in the assignment. If they don't do that, ask, what is your assessment criteria? You are entitled to know what you are assessed on, or what your performance is being assessed on. And then, well, this is kind of self-evident, but I'll say it anyway. So grades and credits don't have a connection. So all the students who have successfully completed the course for the same amount of work, they get the same number of credits, but the grades can be different. And we don't compare the students with each other based on their assignments. Goes together with the normal distribution thing as well. So the teacher should explain their assessment criteria, and your assignment, your examination should be compared with these assessment criteria and not with other students. Well, you have submitted your assignment. You think you did pretty well. Where to find the results? The teachers have to grade the papers or grade your examinations within 2 weeks of completing it. That being said, if the deadline for submitting an essay, for example, is 1st of November, but you submit it already on the 15th of October, the teacher does not have to grade it then, but after the deadline of the submission, so by the 15th of November, if you catch what I mean. So it's always from the deadline, not from your individual submission date. The results of the courses or assignments, essays, examinations will appear in CISU. And you can see them either in the study plan or then in the completed credits section. And the completed credits section can be a, as can be seen when you go to CISU and you see My Profile and click on that. And after the My Profile, it will open a section called Completed Credits. And there you can see all the credits, all the courses that you have completed. I've included an example of the basic studies in special education. You can see that basic studies of special education entity consists of five separate courses. And here are the separate courses, their codes, their names, the number of credits, and then the grade. So it looks like this. Eventually, all the courses you have completed successfully will appear in the transcript of records. And remember that you can get your digitally signed official transcript of record via CISU or then in the JYBAR function on the web page of the university. And I've included some further information regarding the certificate of registration and transcript of records here. So once you get the presentation slides that will be uploaded on the web page of the orientation week, you can read a bit more about that. But in our transcript of records, you will see the Jyväskylä University grades and also the ECTS credit values and grades. But our transcript of records does not include the courses that you have failed or that you have cancelled your participation in. So if you have, for example, in your learning agreement, you say that you are going to do course PSYP140, Clinical Psychology 1, and then you decide that, okay, I don't want to go there. This is not what I expected. You drop out of the course. That course will not appear in your transcript of records at all. So only the courses that you have successfully completed here will appear in your transcript of records. If your home university requires some kind of explanation of the courses that you have either failed or then dropped out of, your international coordinator can write a separate declaration or, you know, kind of a letter saying that, okay, you were enrolled in this and this course, but you failed the examination or you dropped out of the course because of this and that reason. Okay. Contact with the staff. You can find the emails and work mobile phone numbers for the staff members by using the contact search function on the main page of the university. Our relations with our students tend to be really informal, very low hierarchy thing here. Finnish style of communication is pretty direct, to the point. Some consider it to be a bit rude. We don't mean to be rude. It's just that it's you know, very, how would I say, fact-oriented or purposeful small talk. Not so much. Depends, of course, a lot on the person, but if you think that your teacher was very blunt and rude, they probably didn't mean to be. It's just a different way of communicating. As you probably also know, or at least you will when you participate in this Movi course of Finnish, we Finns are also very tolerant of silence in our communication. So if your fellow student who is a Finn or your professor suddenly is silent for several seconds, it's just a way of communication here. Something that I would like to point out, especially if you send out an email to your professor or your international coordinator or to our central international office, please be patient. We tend to receive dozens of emails every day. So it may take a day or two to get back to you. So try not to send the same email again 4 times a day. It does not help your case. It does not help our staff members' workload either. As I said, we are pretty informal, and the relationship with teaching staff members and students is pretty casual, but it is still respectful. We use the informal singular you when we are discussing with our students and our professors. So, too, if we think about the French language, instead of the formal plural vous. So, informal, casual. Remember, you are entitled to get feedback about your performance from the teacher. So, many of our teachers actually provide this without prompting. If not, you can ask them about that. Nowadays, because of the COVID restrictions, most of the appointments tend to be online, and you can agree with the teacher by email to meet online. Hopefully later on, also face to face. When you send emails to your teachers or other staff members, be precise in your email. State the topic clearly in the subject field. So don't say, please don't send a message saying something like hi in the subject field, because it's pretty vague, and it's even possible that it ends up in the trust folder. Mention the name of the course you are participating in, preferably also the code, because a teacher may teach several courses, and it's kind of difficult if a student sends a message saying that I'm participating in your course and I don't know what to do, and then the teacher is okay, I'm teaching 6 different courses. Which course is the student talking about? And please use your names, I mean your first name, last name, as it is written in CISO. This is especially important if you are using your private email address, Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo, something like that, and your email is not, your given name and surname as it is written in informal context. I once received an email from a Finnish student who had a very, very common first name, and she used her own private Gmail address, which gave no indication to her identity. And she had a very complicated question, and she didn't state her name, proper name, and it was impossible to answer her. I had to send her a message saying that, who are you? What is your name? What are you studying? Because it was not visible from her email. So please, as specific, as clear as possible, and be patient, as I said. Whom to ask? Because you are exchange students, the first person regarding general matters and course registrations and stuff like that is your international coordinator. But if you have course-specific queries regarding the assignments and stuff, then of course the course teacher. And we have also emailing lists like FS News. I'm certain Aggie and her colleagues will talk to you about these later on. Please remember that we have our students have lots of freedom. It's not school-like year at all, but with freedom comes responsibility. So you are responsible for your studies. Your teachers will not sort of nag at you about assignments and deadlines. Please try to follow them and be in charge of your studies here. I've included the link regarding the rights, responsibilities, and duties in here. Goodies, I know that you will have a separate session on those, so I'm not going to talk about them here now because I'm running out of time. And I've already mentioned the email lists here. So I wish you all welcome here in Jyväskylä, and I hope you enjoy your stay. I know it's 11:30 now, but perhaps if there are one or two questions that I could address quickly if it's important.
There haven't been any new questions, but maybe that's a previous question when someone asked about taking language courses outside of her major and how to do that. Maybe this is something that a lot of students are interested in taking language courses. And we do have a session from the language center, so there will be more information, but maybe something quickly.
About language courses?
Yes.
The Center for Academic Communication has a lot of language courses available in English and other foreign languages, and Finnish as well. There is a question from Gina. I need to take a language class outside of my classified major. How can I do that? If, for example, your major is English and you have to take a German course, you can check whether the academic center language whether the Center for Academic Communication has a suitable course for you and then enroll into that. If not, you can also check what is available in the German unit of the Department of Foreign Languages. And if there is something suitable, you can ask the international coordinator, Anna-Riitta, whether it would be possible for you to take that course, and she in turn can inquire the teacher as well if need be. Did this help?
Hopefully. There are no more questions, I think. I could just maybe add that I know that in some universities, language courses that you would like to take outside of your major can cost something. So just would like to add that here, all these courses, every course are free of charge. So you can take language courses.
Yes, that's a good point, Agi. I didn't come to think of that. So if there are no questions, I will leave you for the time being. Education and psychology students, see you on Thursday. For the rest of you, hopefully see you around at some point. Enjoy your stay and have a nice autumn here. Bye bye. Thanks.
Thank you, Elisa, for the thorough presentation on academic practices. I would like just to mention a couple of things. One is that the slides from the previous session, from the practical information that Ville and I were talking about, it's already on the orientation program page, so you can already check them and get the links if you wanted to check them out now. And we will be uploading all the materials as we go, as fast as we can. Of course, there are quite a lot of us here from the international office also helping out in the orientation, so we might not be able to upload everything very fast. And also please keep in mind that also to your emails, we might actually answer a bit slower during this week because we are here, but we try our best. And we are done for now. You guys now can have quite a big break. We are going to continue at 14:30. We will have two more sessions for today. And please keep in mind that in the afternoon session, this is not the link that you are going to use, or we are not going to be in this Zoom, but in the afternoon, we are joining the degree students. And we have provided the correct link in the orientation program, which I've just linked to the chat. So if you click there, you will be directed to the right place. But yes, so see you in the afternoon at 14:30 in another Zoom, and have a nice lunch break. See you guys.